The mission is there. Italy haven't qualified for a World Cup for the past, well, two times. And now we need to find out, what does Gennaro Gattuso have to do to be a success in charge of the Nazionale? Emmett Gates and Dan Cantian joining me, David Farini in the studio once more. Emmett, I'll go to you straight away. Where does he start?
Qualification is the name of the game for Gattuso. Obviously, his first games are against Estonia and Israel. He needs 6 points after the 3-0 demolition of by Norway. Victory's the name of the game. Gattuso has to get Italy to the tournament, considering they didn't qualify for the last two. Since they won it in July 2006, they've won one World Cup game in nearly 20 years. They didn't win any in 2010. They won one in 2014 against England, funny enough. And they haven't qualified for the last two. So it speaks to how reduced the ambition is, that basically just Italy qualifying, that is a must. They have to qualify.
You're wearing the 96 kit there, yeah. I see. I'm wearing the 86. But the man in charge of that national team was Arrigo Sacchi. Yeah. And he told us earlier in this year that there's that lack of communication between the clubs. There's no common goal. So Gattuso comes in at a time where he's basically given a dog's dinner to deal with. No other coach, there were first choices out there that just wouldn't accept the job. Gattuso did. He's a vibes man. He's in there now. He needs to now see if he can get some emotion into these players. He wants players that want to play for the shirt. Sacchi was saying, back in his day, the clubs were aligned. They had a common goal. Different times, 90s. Dan, is that something that the clubs maybe need to get hold of here? Is there a common, can there be a common goal, or is it too adversarial?
I don't think it's necessarily adversarial, but I do think that the days where the clubs were there to serve national teams have long gone, not just in Italy. And the Premier League is the perfect example of that. Clubs see international football as a hindrance.
Yeah.
It is a hindrance from a financial aspect, because clubs treat players as their assets. And if an asset gets injured in international football, that is, you get a diminishing return on your investment. So it makes perfect sense. It's sad that it's like that, but it's just the way it is these days.
Do you think World Cups used to be the biggest tournament in the world, and now it's changed with so much club football around, and that's why the clubs are dominating that discourse?
I think it's, in smaller nations, I think the World Cup still means a great deal. Like, if you've been to South America, you talk to people, some of them don't follow football, but when it comes to their nation, they're out in full force, the shirts, all the rest of it. I think in Western countries, it's lost a bit of its luster.
I think it's not too dissimilar between the World Cup and the Champions League. It's a similar, not exactly the same by any means, but there is a similar dynamic than there is between the FA Cup and the Premier League in Britain. You're going to get people who think that the World Cup is the
pinnacle.
The pinnacle is the romance about it. You grow up watching it on TV, hearing it from your parents and whatnot. But the Champions League is this big juggernaut, and it's the same to an extent for the FA Cup. We all grew up thinking of scoring in Wembley in the FA Cup final and rather than winning the Premier League, but that the times have changed.
Do you think that because England dominate the club space in terms of power, finances, and even fandom, the fact that they haven't won a World Cup since the 60s, the fans kind of focus, they want their clubs to do better than the national side, because there is that thing about being an English fan, you follow your club kind of first and foremost. And again, unless you follow a smaller side, maybe third division, second division, or one of the lower sides in Premier League. So they're actually gunning for the national team to excel, but then the followers of United and City and Arsenal and those, they care more about their clubs, and that kind of also shapes the discussion when it comes to the national team. Do you think if England won a World Cup, then the World Cup would come back to that former grandeur that it had in the 70s and 80s?
I think the thing is, the World Cup keeps expanding, and as a result, the quality keeps getting diluted.
Diminished.
And then on top of that, there's just so much money in the club game, and the games are generally of a higher quality. And I think that that two-pronged approach is why the World Cup has kind of saw a lot of its, star power.
So we funnel them all into club football now. The best players are all in club football all the time. And then when it comes to the national, unless it's the quarterfinals, semifinals in the World Cup.
I think that up until 3 years ago, if you were someone who grew up, say, from 2000 onwards, you will think of Messi playing for Barcelona. You will not picture him playing for Argentina. Like,
sure,
all his best moments came from Barcelona, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas for my generation, you know, for me, Maradona was like Argentina first and foremost. Of course, it was immense for Napoli, but you have that. So the World Cup was unique. As Emmett said, there was not as much football on TV. It was the one thing you waited for 4 years. Whether your team was there or not, you would just watch it, yeah, because it was different.
Wall-to-wall
and you
games.
Would get to learn about so many players, but these days, every single player...
It's before travel became just... You couldn't just book it at the click of a finger like you can now on the internet. It was a wow factor about it. They're playing in Mexico. They're playing in Spain.
Also, you watched on TV because, you know, you were like... From like September to May for 9 months, you would only get the FA Cup final and maybe the old Champions League game. Yeah. And then for a month, you had like football on every day.
Yeah.
Do you think this is something that Gattuso has no chance of combating, this kind of mentality where, and again, we transpose what I was saying about the English fans into the Italian fandom. The majority of fans follow one of the big three clubs. They care more about that than they do the national side, unless the national side happened to win like they did with the Euros in 2020. So Gattuso now, it's so hard to weather that storm where the clubs are dictating whether they want their players to go and play for the national side, and he wants those players that want to play for the shirt. That's what he's been saying.
Well, it's also what we were saying earlier. It also goes back to there's been a switch in mentality from players, and it was something that Dan said. So Diego treated the club game as a warm-up for Argentina. Baggio was the same. Baggio never left Italy because he wanted to be in the shop window for managers that would pick him. Players don't have that mentality now. It's club first, country second. Whereas when we grew up in the 70s, 80s, 90s, it was country and then club. But
you don't
have that anymore.
Money has affected the game to a level where...
Yeah, money has affected the game. But in Emma's point about the dilution of quality at the top level is just as important. It's very samey.
A 48-team World Cup is ludicrous.
Yeah. It is.
Like, it's, what are we doing? Are we giving out participation medals
it
now,
is.
Too?
Yeah.
It's like,
it is.
It's supposed to be the best of the best, not bring in smaller nations. Just, and it's not a knock on them because they, you know, brings the country together and they have their moment. But when we're talking about quality on the pitch, it dilutes it.
You don't want to go out there and get hammered 8-0.
Well,
either.
That's the thing. Like, the Rugby World Cup is a decision for a long time because you're caught between expanding it, but also diluting the quality of what's on display. And then you end up having the likes of, you know, teams like, I don't know, Uruguay or Portugal facing New Zealand and getting hammered by 150 points, or Namibia against Australia in 2003. But as far as Gattuso is concerned and Italy are concerned, I think in the knock-on effect that the rise of the club game has had is it has encouraged clubs in Italy to go and buy a lot more foreign players, because we spoke about the financial constraints on Serie A, and that has had an impact on the quality of Italian players coming through.
But can't he feed off that and say, well, you don't have the money anymore. Get players from the Primavera, go to your youth squads and give them more minutes. We all know that it won't happen for a lot of sides, but we are seeing the likes of Camarda now coming in and getting Serie A minutes. There are other good players that are surfacing now, or even 17, 18-year-olds that are never going to play for Milan but getting loan spells at Spezia or Catanzaro, Liberale and Comotto, for example. So is this where we saw Mancini go to Serie B to call up ZB and Gatti when they were at Frosinone? Let's not forget that.
Yeah.
So he was in transition there. I think it was 2022 after they won the Euros and he had to bring it through a new batch, and that's kind of where Gattuso is now.
Yeah, I mean, part of it is also cyclical as well, because, you know, in any sport, you can only sustain excellence for so long, you know, eventually the wheels are going to start coming off.
Yeah.
But with Italy, they've gone through what I think AC Milan are going through, and which is a sort of lowering of expectations, and then you end up floating in this sea of mediocrity, where the players are good enough to win a lot of games, but they're not going to be good enough to get you over the line. And I think that clashes with a refusal to recalibrate expectations, because obviously, you know, when you won 4 World Cup
and 2 Euros.
Yeah, people in Italy, I guess, they expect the team to be competitive, whereas they're just not going to be not competitive at the right at the top anyway, not for the time being, because the likes of Spain, Germany, France have... Further and further ahead,
Spain especially.
Yeah.
When it comes to European levels,
even the likes of Argentina and Brazil, you know, are further ahead than Italy at the minute.
Yeah.
At the minute, yeah. And they've got Ancelotti. A lot of people wanted Ancelotti to coach Italy, but I feel like there were two or three names that just bypassed. They know what they're up against. And Gattuso is a galvanizing figure to me. He's a vibes man that comes in. He's got the experience of playing in a World Cup. He's won it. He's been there with Cannavaro lifting the trophy. All those players sort of in the Foro Romano in Rome, we all have those images still ingrained in our memories. And he is a player that has been up against the most difficult opponents. He's played on Zidane in a World Cup final. So if I was a young midfielder coming through, I would be looking to a figure like that. And I know Ranieri could have been another solution, but he is still a vibes man for me when it comes to the national side, especially when he's at the end of his career. He doesn't really want to coach anymore. I feel like Gattuso needs to find a way to galvanize. And we've seen him do that tour in the summer. He's gone to all the clubs, their training sessions, and all the photos are over social media. He's gone from one club to the next, big and small. And he's trying, it's almost a political election at the moment. He's trying to go there and assure them, come on, guys, let's get involved. Buffon's there. He's another vibes guy. And let's galvanize together.
You're getting I'm getting a sort of Evani and Lombard and Sampdoria at the end of the season vibe. Yeah. But it's exactly what it is, though.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
But I feel like Italy has a better chance than Sampdoria, let's be honest. But yeah. He's still got talent there, but the depths of the talent pool are no longer there.
There is also the fact that when you're like Gattuso, Buffon, or Evani and Lombard, for that matter, you expect the players that you've got to be at the standards of the players you played with. And that is not going to happen. And that's really difficult, you know. I think Roy Keane went through that at Sunderland. He admitted himself, you know, he couldn't understand why players could not do what he wanted them to do. And then he realised that they weren't just not good enough.
And that's the problem that all great, former great players have as coaches, because they can see the game in a way that others can't. And you can't relate to inferior players.
I mean, Italy has still got more than good enough players to get to the World Cup.
To qualify, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you were going back to that World Cup 11 that Gattuso played in, the closest thing to Pirlo would be Tonali.
And that's probably... Yeah.
Perotta would be Barella, maybe.
And I think those two are probably the areas where you're like, okay, it's not a like for like, but you're not falling off a cliff in terms of quality. But when you compare all the positions...
Yeah, well, especially...
No Luca Toni.
Yeah, and attack.
No Totti, no Del Piero.
Yeah. No.
And that's where the big...
Even no Gilardino or Inzaghi coming the big off the gap, bench.
Yeah. Well, Inzaghi barely played. Gilardino, they both played, but, you know, I remember...
Lippi rotated.
Lippi played everyone.
Yeah. Even Iquinta got a run at...
Yeah, Iquinta, yeah, he scored a goal.
Yeah.
Against Ghana. And that's... They do have strikers, Silva, Ilk to your Quintas, for example.
But there
is no elevation after that. I think Scamacca is definitely probably the craftiest of the strikers on... if he's fully fit and on his day.
But I mean, it's a damning indictment that Scamacca's got to call up. He's played two games in a year.
But he was already part of the national team.
Yeah, but
I mean,
like, if this had been the 90s.
28-man squad.
He wouldn't have got a sniff because the quality was, there was an abundance of equality. But because there isn't, he's come back in off the back of 2 years.
He's saying that Del Piero was called up straight after his injury. I know it's Del Piero, but also there was Baggio at the time.
Yeah.
And there was other players that never played.
It's not just Scamacca, it's also Di Canio. You know, Pierre Esposito in the team. Now, it was brilliant in Serie B last season, but he's done
nothing. FIFA World Club Cup, preseason friendlies.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose
that we're there as part of the experience.
I suppose we can't knock Gattuso for not giving young players a chance and then knock him for calling him. I get that.
Yeah.
But again, I think tokenism is a dangerous route to go down here.
I don't think Pierre Esposito is tokenism.
No, not in particular, but He's done nothing yet to prove.
I think when Mancini called that Pafundi, it was like, look, I've given a 16-year-old a go.
I had completely forgotten about it.
So look, there still is enough talent there. You think against Estonia and Israel, they should be able to do the job. They beat Moldova 2-0. Gattuso still hasn't coached the game. So he's been doing his tour of the clubs. I think he's done okay in his professional career as a coach. And we've had this discussion with Adriano Del Monte. You two weren't here for that, but... If you haven't seen that, go and look it up on our YouTube channel. But look, he's there and he has to rally these guys. He wants patriotism back and he needs the clubs to have a common goal.
Do you think if he takes them to the World Cup, would you then appoint an a proper manager other than a actually batsman.
Guide them.
I think he'll be a national hero if he gets Italy to a World Cup. And maybe, again, it's to another point where when you're not at a World Cup for so long and you've had a generation that has never seen their team play in a World Cup, there's people that are probably 10, 11 years old that have never experienced that.
Well, Giovanni Leone, who's been called up to the squad, he was born after Italy won it. So he, in his whole existence, he's seen Italy win one match and that he's playing. You know, that shows it's been since
that's
Italy.
That's another absurd selection. He's played 17 Serie A games last season and he goes straight into the national team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's been a couple of changes. And again, maybe that was tokenism there where the hype is around him in the summer because he's young. And it's one of those things, again, where clubs are putting pressure on these very, very young players. If you play three good months, all of a sudden you're worth 30, 40 million now when you're supposed to be the next Maldini or whoever. And this is an issue that Gattuso also needs to combat. And it feels like there is a shift in psychology that needs to take place again. Maybe I'm not sure if it's going backwards, but I feel like they need a Gattuso, someone that's won it, that can bring his way of thinking into this national side, because I feel like a lot of these players are shaped by the mentality of their clubs and they don't have an alignment with the national side.
I have a feeling that Simone Inzaghi is going to be the Italy manager in the next 18 months.
You think so?
Yeah.
He's gone to collect his cash and he'll be back?
I mean, Saudi Arabia is effectively like just going to an ATM these days.
True.
You don't, unless you're at the end of your career, there is no valid reason to stay there for longer.
I think Inzaghi's a good 8-10 years off at the end of his career.
Absolutely, that's what I mean, yeah. And Stefano Pioli was in Saudi Arabia for what, 2 years?
I did see Pioli doing it before. Yeah. But regardless of who would be next, you're assuming that Gattuso's not going to be successful, but what does he need to do
I didn't say that. I didn't say that. I'm not saying it's not going to be successful. I just don't think it's a long-term solution. Gattuso is the manager that you get into. It's the new manager bounce. Like, you know, in club football, you would get him in, avoid relegation, and then appoint a new manager.
He is the national team equivalent of Davide Nicola.
He is, exactly.
You survive relegation and then you change to a real manager once the real...
But Nicola's already gone through that transition with Cagliari and now he's now considered as a coach that you'd bring in to at least achieve
something. But when you look at the managers that Italy have had, and, you know, we are talking about a decline in the quality of players, the overall quality of players, because Italy still has some tremendous players, the likes of Tonali, Barella, Donnarumma and all the rest of it. But if you look at the manager has been a sort of declining trend as well. Because Italy have gone from having the likes of, you know, Conte and Prandelli. You suppose you could take him or leave him.
But Marcello Lippi.
Yeah,
Lippi. Trapattoni.
Lippi had a very big team around him. Who does Gattuso have? Because if we look at it, he's got, as his assistant coach, Luigi Riccio, which was former assistant at Marseille and other clubs. Fair enough. But he does have Leonardo Bonucci. He's won a Euros. Gattuso's won a World Cup. He's got Gianluigi Buffon, who won a World Cup there. He's the head of delegation. So there are names there that can also, they need inspiration.
Yeah.
They need to, sometimes you've got the talent, but you need something else. And that's what I feel Gattuso's going to bring to ignite something in these players, to make them feel a sense. Like, we always see Italy in the national anthem before the game. They're always yelling. But I feel like that's something that they do to appease any potential haters out there.
It's for optics. It's for TV.
But they actually need people that have been out there. Well, you wouldn't have felt those emotions.
Do you think that it's going completely opposite direction? Do you think that Italy would benefit from having someone coming in from abroad, someone who's not burdened by the pressure of winning, the pressure of succeeding? Exactly what
England isn't burdened by that though.
Exactly what England are trying to do with Thomas Tuchel. You know, he's an outsider. So coming in,
they've got a tradition of that though.
For me, I'm a traditionalist. I think if you're Italian, or if Italy should hire an Italian, England should hire an English manager, Germany, German, whatever. But I think it's good to take
Jack Charlton was an Irish though.
He is now.
I see. See, talk about moving the goalposts there, right?
But I do, in terms of but Ireland's different, we're a small country, but in terms of the superpowers of football, I do think. Yeah. You stick to your own. But I do think there's nothing wrong with seeking ideas from abroad, get an outside perspective.
Even assistance and that kind of stuff. We've seen it with smaller nations like Australia that have come through and they've gone to Terry Venables, who used to be the former England coach, for example. But England went down a different path. And
so what you're saying is Ange Postecoglou is going to take over from Gattuso. Is that what your point?
I would say he's got more chance of taking over from Two shell, but yeah.
I agree for that.
We've had Capello in charge of England.
Yeah.
Sven Gordon and Eriksson. Yeah. So they've got that tradition. They've tried it. They tried it in their glory days with the Beckhams and the Scholeses and all
the
that.
Golden generation.
You know, they've got a long history of it now in England. Italy, to do that, they'd maybe if Gattuso doesn't succeed, it could be an option. But I really can't see them going down that path at the moment, especially with Italy's biggest export at the moment in terms of football is their coaching.
Yeah. But then, as Dan alluded to earlier, it's getting to a point now where
you try anything.
Does any Italian coaches actually want the job? It's almost like a poison chalice.
Yeah,
because Ranieri turned it down. Gattuso was probably, if we're being realistic, fourth or fifth choice.
Yeah.
You know, it's like even if he gets Italy to the tournament and then say if they did want to make a change, like who really wants it?
Yeah, Antonio Conte is still Italy's best manager and he will not touch the job with the barge pole.
He's been there and done it. And he took over in a similar point where they had a very woeful 2014 campaign.
Yeah.
And then he'd come in, taken off on a squad with Eder and Pele and places like
that. To me, that is his greatest achievement, is getting that Italy squad to the quarterfinal of
Knocked
Euros.
Knocked penalties,
because that,
and what a penalty that was, too.
Oh, but that was a putrid Italy squad. Putrid. And the fact that he got them
the
penalty
is a microcosm of...
Yeah.
I mean...
That's the Zaza
penalty. Zaza's penalty still hasn't come down. It's up there somewhere.
Yeah. He's lost it.
When it comes to entertainment, that penalty itself was...
Oh, the run-up is spectacular. It's like 3 minutes of a run-up and then just boom.
I mean, Gattuso hasn't just gone for heavyweight assistants. He's also got Cristiano Lupatelli as his goalkeeping coach, who never played for Italy. He played for the under-21s.
I do love that he has the greatest goalkeeper in the history of the sport. As a staff, but yet he hires Lupatelli as his goalkeeping coach.
To be fair, any goalkeeper who used to play with number 10 deserves a lot of confidence. And I think Lupatelli at number 10 in Chievo.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I guess maybe he's going to bring something, surely, Lupatelli, because I guess you've got the two standards there. This is what our current crop's like, but we want to get to Buffon. So. Yeah.
But to be fair, with Gattuso, I mean, even though I'm not sold on him by any stretch, you look at France and they've done pretty much the same thing because Deschamps was... not a sort of an attractive proposition in the eyes of many, and there are similarities between them as a players. Now, that's not to say that translates in the coaching realm.
But I mean, at least Deschamps took Monaco to a Champions League final.
Of course.
Gattuso's watching a Champions League final on TV. Like, he's never coaching a team that's in a final.
I know.
At least he had some pedigree.
Was it winning Serie B with Juventus, wasn't it?
Who?
Deschamps? Was he in charge?
As a manager, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's everyone's dream as a coach.
No, but I mean, I think Deschamps has been, obviously mine, you know, I can't claim to be a watcher of French football, but Deschamps has always struck me as a sort of manager who's been able to create he's got his persona and he does not bow to public criticism, you know, doesn't really matter whether his choices are fashionable or unfashionable when it comes to players. He's got his ideas and he's stuck to them. And to great effect, obviously, the players he can choose from are somewhat better than the one that Gattuso.
By
a landslide.
Regarding Gattuso and who he's got to choose from, his player pool, is it a case of, and he might have to do this through necessity because there simply aren't enough Italian players in the Italian league anymore. I think everyone, it's like commonly known now. It's common knowledge. There's only 35% of the league that is Italian, and that's slowly slid down. It's been like that for a while, I should say, because it's not a new phenomenon that's been drifting down since probably 2012.
I remember even Lippi complaining about it way back during the second stint.
It's probably 55 back then. So does he turn to players that play for your Bolognas, your Veronas?
You have to, because not many of the big three.
And also a lot of them have a point to prove. Orsolini being probably the most blatant case in this, you know, like he had an amazing season last season and one of his celebrations was apparently him complaining about not being called up. Emmett is right, you might as well have turned to, the problem when you turn towards players who play for the last, not Bologna and Atalanta, not so much, but like a step below that, they have no experience international level.
No, they've not
just with
European football, no experience either.
Would the mentality be they're dying to play for the national team shirt?
But I'll I'm sure that you will be dying to play for Napoli. Whether that makes you good enough to play for Napoli is a different matter. So
sure,
that's
but,
the thing.
But in club football, you can sign anyone from anywhere
no,
on the planet.
No, what I'm saying is like the fact that you're dying to play for a team doesn't make you good enough to play for them, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, desire alone is not enough.
Yeah.
I think you actually
no, absolutely not, because we could see in the 90s when Italy was in their pomp, Di Canio wasn't getting a run, Sebastiano Rossi couldn't get a call up. It was dripping with talent that even Baggio couldn't get selected for a Euros, and he's probably the greatest Italian player of all time. So and he was in his prime.
Yeah.
So it's not always a matter of if you've got the players that are the world's best players or not. It is players. And I think this is where Gattuso was going. Success could be brought if he gets players that want to play for the national team, regardless of what their club says. And I know it's a tightrope there, because the club and the player have to be on good terms. You don't want some kind of fallout to happen with their agents. Obviously, the agents get involved, the parents get involved. So, you know, it's a fine line. But
and I think one of the things that works against Gattuso is some of the players he's got are players who, like, I'm thinking Retegui.
Who went to Dubai to play?
Yeah, I'm
of
thinking Retegui and
it's cash driven.
Probably Orsolini being the biggest examples are players who have become really good by virtue of being training with the same manager week in, week out. As a national team manager, you don't have that luxury. You know, that's why Pep Guardiola hasn't taken over a national team, because he needs to have players there week in, week out to drill his kind of football into them.
And that's what they were saying about Spalletti.
Yeah. Exactly.
With the national side, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that may play against Gattuso, because, you know, you only have a limited time to make your mark tactically on a team.
Well, see, that's why I think, obviously, he turned the job down, but I think Ranieri actually would have been decent, because Ranieri could have been like, right, these are the players, out you go.
But that's a short-term solution, Ranieri, because he doesn't want to coach anymore.
No.
But I think... I think international football is all about short term. It's about
it's cup competitions.
Yeah, get to a tournament, play 7 games as well as you can, and win.
But if a coach legitimately wants to retire, didn't even want to do the club job that he was doing because he wanted to travel, that's a different.
I've got a name for you that has just popped in my mind.
All right, we're going to end this with Dan's name.
Would you take the someone who's just been sacked by Fenerbahce as Italy manager?
Jose. I mean, he would
If you're talking about aura and like profile.
And galvanizing players.
They don't
style of football, woeful.
But again, it's tournament football. You don't win prizes.
So we're taking it back to Italy's the dark arts? Catenaccio.
I reckon,
particularly because, I know that like, people probably sort of dismiss this out of hand. But if you're going to try with a foreign manager, and I'm not saying that Italy are going down the route.
But if you were?
If you were to try with a foreign manager, I think it'd be absolutely worth the point. And I think it's a job that he would love to take, because, again, you know, he'll have something to prove. He wouldn't be taking Italy right at the top. He'd be taking Italy sort of like mid-table.
Sure. But, okay, so if we're going to wrap this up now, what are the key points that Gattuso could take forward for success? Is it galvanizing the team, obviously, getting them all on the same page? That's what he needs.
Yeah.
What else?
Getting Italy there is number one. How he does it, the style of play, it doesn't matter. Just get Italy to a World Cup.
At the minute, you could just the fact that he could tell his players that, you know, if we get to the World Cup, we had the first group of players to qualify for a World Cup in 20 years. That should be, you know, if
so
that's
motivation
enough.
Motivation is where it's at.
Yeah, it's going to be done with that, I mean, you don't want Gattuso to be...
Yeah.
Well, I'm motivated to watch them. They're going to take on Israel. And before that, it's going to be Estonia. And he's got a 28-man squad there. We'll throw it on the screen now for you to have a look at. Emma Gates, Dan Cancian, thanks for joining. And let us know in the comments what you think Gennaro Gattuso can do to get Italy over the line. And did we miss something? Let us know.